Israel is our favorite country in more ways than one. One, indeed, it's a very important country, very key friend of India. In fact, if you go to Israel, don't forget to buy a t-shirt that has the map of Israel and says the largest tiny country or the tiniest big country in the world. Because Israel determines many things in global diplomacy, global power of balance. It's also a remarkable country, very talented, very progressive, very courageous, and very strong. At the same time, politically completely messed up, which also makes it our favorite country. Because if there is one country in the world where politics is more messy than India's, it's Israel. Now, that's an argument. I mentioned this to you earlier. That's an argument I once had with one of the Israeli ambassadors. And I said, look, your country is probably the most, has the most messy politics, more messy even than India's. He said, no, you are wrong. India is more complex because you have caste. We don't have caste. And besides other things. But I insisted that Israel was messier. But look at what's happening in Israel now. In 3 years now, Israel is heading for a fifth election. Israel already has a new prime minister. A prime minister had come into place 10 months back after almost 12 years of Benjamin Netanyahu. That's when Naftali Bennett had become the prime minister. And this, as we had explained to you in an earlier episode of Cut the Clutter, and I'm sharing all those links with you. You can look at them. I don't want to repeat them because there is also one that explains all the complexities of Israeli political system, Israeli electoral system, which is on proportionate basis. You have to pass a minimum threshold to qualify to get even one seat. And also the seats are allocated on the basis of the total votes you get. So almost nobody, it's impossible at this point for any party in Israel to get a clear majority. You have to have a coalition. And these coalitions have their own problems, their own half-lives. This one's half-life has been just 10 months. So this coalition has ended in 10 months. In 10 months, the coalition is gone. The Knesset, as the Israeli parliament is called, that's been dissolved. There is going to be a fresh election now in November. So what happens between now and November? That's almost about 6 months. Between now and November, a new prime minister is taken over. So we had told you that after the last election, when this sort of uneasy coalition was put together after the election, and this was a very diverse coalition. They said people on the right, although it did not have the most right-wing and the most conservative religious parties, or what is called as Haredis, which is basically a party of the most conservative rabbi or most conservative followers of Judaism. So they were not there, but there were a lot of people from the right. There were people from the center left, although their leader preferred to describe them as leader of the center right, but they are in the Israeli context more like center left. So their leader, Yair Lapid, he and the person who became prime minister, that is Naftali Bennett, they decided to take 2 year swap, said for 2 years, one will be prime minister, the other will be foreign minister, and then vice versa. And similarly, for other key positions in the cabinet, they made the same arrangement. My number two will be this, your number two will be this. All this I explained in an earlier Cut the Clutter, so I'm not repeating. Please check that out. Now, what's happened now is that Mr. Bennett's coalition lost its majority. It's lost its majority. Why? That is the issue. And that's what tells you that a lot of things that happen in Israel resemble Indian politics. Because after all, India also is a country with many parties, not a two straight party situation as say in the US or in UK or in many other democratic countries, many other democracies. So Israel has many parties plus proportionate representation. So this is a formula for a complex electoral outcome. And it's a big challenge to keep these coalitions together and to pass budgets. In fact, under Benjamin Netanyahu, for three years, his government had not been able to pass a budget. For 3 years, Israel had gone on without a budget. This government, on the other hand, succeeded in passing a budget after 3 years, which was a big achievement because in a coalition like this, everybody has a different point of view. And this coalition this time also had a representation of the Israeli Arab parties. Now, Israeli Arab parties, because of the proportionate representation, they won a bunch of seats. They are not one party, they are also a bunch of parties. So they got together in what is called as United Arab List. They became members also. So one of their leaders, for example, Mansour Abbas, who had four members, and four members is a hell of a lot in the Israeli parliament, Israeli Knesset, because it's a house of 120. It's rare for somebody to get, for a pre-election coalition to get 61. In fact, in the last election, it was almost like a dead heat, 60 and 59 or something. Then you have to go and win over others. So this coalition, the Lapid-Bennett coalition, or Bennett-Lapid coalition to begin with, that was ruling Israel for the past 10 months, it had been put together with also the help of the Arab parties. But why did this fall? It fell over a religious issue. And what was the religious issue? Now, there's a Jewish festival, 8-day festival called Passover. Now, Passover, you know, in a Jewish society, in the conservative Jewish system, the kosher system, or the kushrat as it's called, is followed very strictly. Now, during Passover, a certain kind of food, let's just say kind of a fast food, was delivered. There was a demand by patients in hospitals, or there was demand by families that patients in hospitals should be delivered that food during the 8 days of Passover. Now, the Israeli clergy, Jewish clergy, does not allow that because they don't see that as kosher. So the chief rabbinate of Israel, which is really the council of the head clergymen, they had ruled that you cannot serve that kind of food during those 8 days of Passover because that's a very religious and holy period. In 2020, Israeli Supreme Court had given an order that this directive of the rabbinate violated the fundamental religious rights of Israeli people. And that's why they should be allowed this food. This government, until now, no government had done it because they knew this really triggers the conservatives. But this government went ahead and did it. As they went ahead and did it, one member of parliament, or MK as they are called in Israel, member of Knesset, she resigned. And she said, I cannot carry on with this. She is Idit Shilman, 41 years old. She was made the chief whip of the coalition. And can you imagine, can there be a tougher job than to be the chief whip of a coalition which has a majority of just one in a house of 120, that is 61 in a house of 120, and you've got to issue a whip and persuade all these diverse partners to vote together. She wasn't the whip of a party, she was the whip of the coalition. So she had struggled enough getting these people, diverse minds, to come together and pass a few things, including the budget. But now she said that, look, with these changes and the kind of pushback I'm getting from the religious right, I can't continue. Forget being the chief whip. I can't continue in the party. And as that happened, the coalition lost its majority. Now, there were other issues linked to religion. For example, on marriage, the control that the most conservative rabbi had over, say, Kashrut, that is declaring what is kosher, what is not kosher, and goes beyond food, but food is most of it. Kashrut, second, marriage, and third, conversion. Now, conversion to Judaism is a very complex process and takes a long time. It's equivalent to passing exams, learning theory, practical, everything. And then it is the rabbi who then decide who can pass this exam and be admitted to Judaism or not, or can become a Jew or not. This is not a quick conversion as in some other Abrahamic religions. So those powers over marriage, powers over kashrut, powers over conversion. Again, in a modern country, these powers remain with heavily entrenched rabbi, and they don't want to give up control. Just as you go to a religious place in India, say you go to any of these famous temples which are under the control of the pandas. They don't let an outside priest come in. The moment somebody comes in, the moment a devotee comes in or a pilgrim comes in, some panda takes control of the pilgrim and says, so and so is my client. Now, this also cuts across religious lines. For example, if you go to Ajmer Sharif, then you have all these khadims who all claim to be descendants of Moinuddin Chishti himself, no less. All of them have the second name Moini, which means they are descendants of Moinuddin Chishti. And one of them will come and take control of you, or take charge of you. Control is the bad word. Take charge of you and escort you around. Obviously expect a fee. Get your number and details. So in future, if you ever come, you are so-and-so's client or so-and-so's guest, you can choose your words. So similarly, the clergy in Israel has a lot of power. And since this coalition had some liberal elements or center-left elements, they were questioning some of this. For example, there were issues like which rabbis can conduct conversion. Do only some rabbi have that right? Or a lot of other rabbis can have that right. Second, egalitarian prayer at the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. You see all these pictures in Jerusalem. This is the holiest spot for the Jews across the world. Now, Jews come there, and when they pray and mourn at the Wailing Wall, right now there is gender segregation. This government was moving towards, or there were elements in the government who wanted to move towards allowing a mixing of genders, basically removing gender segregation. Again, to imagine such things bringing down a government in a country as ultra-modern, a high-tech power like Israel. But that is what happened. So religion, it was, that broke this. Then other things happened. For example, Naftali Bennett. He comes from Yamina party, small party with 6 or 7 MPs or MKs, depending on how you count them. Because one has always been sort of on the fence, one has now left. Now, he went to Washington, and in a joint appearance with Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State. Now, he had improved Israel's relationship with Biden's America, which would not have been possible under Netanyahu. And he made a few concessions. For example, at his joint appearance, he described the West Bank as what but West Bank. These are occupied territories, West Bank. These are areas that Palestinians call their own. These are controversial. And that got people very upset. That got the Jewish right, or the Israeli right, very upset, because they prefer to describe these as Judea and Samaria, which is the biblical name for these territories, and which is the name the Jewish settlers on the West Bank prefer to use. And for a long time now, Israeli leaders in power have been using Judea and Samaria and not West Bank. But he did, and that also became a kind of a breaking point. So all of this led to this one MK walking away, Idit Shilman. And then the fall of the government, dissolution of the Knesset was delayed for some time, but this has now happened. And as was the arrangement, Mr. Bennett has now gone away. And Mr. Bennett has also said that he's not going to be participating with election anymore. He's retiring from politics. And you know why? Because all the opinion polls are now showing that he's become so unpopular. In fact, he was never a big popular leader. To have him as prime minister was a little bit like having Mr. Gujral as prime minister of India. Because, you know, he didn't have much support. This one at least had 6 or 7 MPs. Mr. Gujral didn't even have that many. But he was a bit like that. He was a smaller party. He was a compromise candidate, because you know what happens when he's putting together a coalition, then the small parties also have a lot of negotiating power. He had a personality of his own. He had been a leader of a settlers organization called Yesha on the West Bank, and he had made friends on the left. So that is how he got the prime ministership first. So in this funny proportionate system, or cruel proportionate system, the current opinion polls are showing that Bennett has become so unpopular because of all these things that he's done, and because mainly it's the price he's paying for managing such a diverse coalition for 10 months, that his party will not even get one seat. He will not get to the critical mass of votes to get one seat, which is why his retirement has become inevitable. So he's gone away, and Yair Lapid. Now, Yair Lapid, 59 years old, sort of young by Israeli standards lately. He is a very interesting character. Yair Lapid did not even pass his high school, and I'll share with you a long profile on him, a beautifully written long profile from Haaretz on Yair Lapid. He did not even pass his high school, but became a journalist. It did not hurt the fact that his father was a senior journalist in an Israeli newspaper then quite popular called Maariv. So he became a journalist there, and soon enough he got a column, and the column became very popular. He wrote that column for 20 years. That wasn't particularly a strong political or opinionated column in that sense. In fact, if I read his interviews and if I read this profile, he describes his column's content more like Israeliness. So that column ran for 20 years, very popular. Nobody could shut that column. And then he became a TV host. He became a lyricist. He became a singer. He started acting. He became a model. All kinds of things. And so he became quite a cult figure in his own right. His politics was a little bit on the liberal side. Although, to begin with, he said that his party was that of the center-right. But increasingly, because Israeli politics is dominated by right now, I would say, and a lot of the well-informed observers say, that his party is more like center-left. Now, what's going to happen in November? There's been a snap poll now conducted by Channel 13, which is a reputed Israeli opinion poll. That shows that today's election is held today, there'll be a dead heat, 60 and 60. So once again, the deadlock will not be broken. And who knows, 6 months later, there'll be yet another election. So 5 elections in 3 years, maybe within 4 years, there'll be one more. And God knows, when will this settle down? Because as we stand, there is no particular sign that Israel is going to get political stability. So how do I conclude this? I conclude this a couple of comments from Haaretz. I know it's a liberal newspaper. It's a left-wing newspaper. It's a newspaper of the liberal left. And there are others on the right, like Times of Israel, etc., where at least we can read in English. But Haaretz is a reputed newspaper. They write very well. So there are two lines that they've used, two descriptions for the current politicians of Israel. They say that Israeli opposition, that is Benjamin Netanyahu, that has no respect or no time for human suffering. And at the same time, Naftali Bennett has had a patronizing attitude towards his, not just deputy, but his successor to be by arrangement, that is Yair Lapid. So he wasn't able to keep his coalition together, and Netanyahu would not let the coalition run. Then Haaretz says that Israel's parliament now, or Israel's politics, has too few responsible adults and too many opportunists. Now the fact is that you could say this pretty much about the politics of any other country. The other thing, finally, that we can say with clarity, so the next election will be yes to Bibi Netanyahu or no to Bibi Netanyahu. Having said that, now we are heading for our 5th anniversary at the print, 20th of August. So now leading up to our 5th anniversary, occasionally or often enough, I will explain to you one unusual product that we have developed at the print, because we have done many. So for today, let me talk about something called Last Laughs. So Last Laughs actually is a play, maybe too clever by half, on having the last laugh. Having the last laugh is when you finally win something. But last laughs is the reverse, which is not that you finally won an argument, but basically you can have a laugh at something, whatever your view or argument. And who makes that possible? Great cartoonists. So India has fantastic political cartoonists. Every day our newsroom gets together and selects the best political cartoons of the day from all of the Indian press, not just English press. We try and reach out to the regional press also, wherever we can understand or wherever a translation is available. And that's a daily feature. Please check out hashtag Last Laughs. It's very popular, and send us some suggestions and ideas. For Sundays, we make a further innovation to it. And that innovation is, on Sundays, we pick up the best political cartoons and cartoons on important issues from the media, essentially English media, from across the world. So please do not miss out on these innovative products. I am showing some samples to you on the screen, and as we go ahead, I will explain some of the more such products to you.